The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's still off. I am flying solo. We will open up the fan lines at some point today. Actually, at any point, you can feel free to text or call the program whenever it is good for you. 877-332-8255. Some of the conversations that I'm hoping that we can get started today. One, who's the best team in the CFL right now? Tell me why. Come with receipts. Week 5 picks. Jamie Nye has some interesting Week 5 picks. He's actually had, I'd say, a bit of a rough start this year. He's usually a leader. Like, he's usually out in front of the group that he picks with that represent the CFL. And his picks, a little bit interesting. We'll get to that soon. Also, this is on the cusp of free agency frenzy yesterday. You get to steal one NHL player for the team you cheer for. Who are you stealing? All right. Maybe you're an Oilers fan. Maybe you want to steal someone from the league. Doesn't matter. I want to know who you're stealing. Thoughts on Marner's farewell to the Leafs? If you missed that, he posted something on his Instagram page. I read it. I had a hard time with it, and I'm wondering where Leaf fans stand with it as well. Also, how'd you celebrate Canada Day? I will tell you this. I put together my barbecue. It is running. It's running beautifully. I will admit that I got a little bit of help with the gas because my wife was worried about me blowing up a half city block, but that's beside the point. It's working. I celebrated yesterday by putting a couple of very nice expensive steaks on that bad boy and having the feast of my life last night. We'll get things going with the starting lineup. All right, here we go. Free agency frenzy in the NHL yesterday. Not a lot happened. I still am amazed that they continue to put together the 25-person panels and broadcast for 17 hours all day with four trades to report on. But that's not me. Mitch Marner, probably to Vegas, Golden Knights. That's probably your biggest story yesterday. And the sign and trade deal quiets the tampering conversations for now. Condre Miller to the Carolina Hurricanes. That was also a sign and trade deal. Brock Besser staying in Vancouver. Grandlin goes to the Star, or goes from the Stars to the Ducks. And this happened before, but again, this was a major part of the conversation, what Florida Panthers continue to do, underpaying their players and keeping that core that's taken them to the Stanley Cup Finals last 3 years straight with two cup wins. Aaron Ekblad, Sam Bennett, and Brad Marchand. Contrary to popular belief, there was a lot of conversations about one of the three not staying, and they all stayed. And apparently it has nothing to do with Florida being a tax-free state, but maybe I'm just hanging on to something I shouldn't be hanging on to. And big news yesterday, if you were watching the free agency frenzy on TSN, we said goodbye to Bob McKenzie.
The trade is one for none, as in I'm trading my semi-retired life for absolutely nothing. Well, nothing in terms of real work. Because today is my retirement day, and shutting her down after 48 years.
He's had a nice, healthy career. Bob is well known as the original hockey insider. He called it quits yesterday after the free agency frenzy, which is his idea, by the way. And James Duthie took a minute when that was happening to make sure he knew that they were there because of him, and it was his fault. Bob will be 69 in August and plans on doing nothing. He did sort of pull back on his duties. Was it 2-3? COVID really messed me up for timing. I have no idea now. But I remember there was like a moment a few years ago where he said he was going to back off, but he kept going. And we'll move over to baseball. The Jays continue to roll, baby.
And a high fly ball to left center field. It's going, and it is gone! What a scene here at the Rogers Center. George Springer with a grand slam to blow it open.
So Springer had seven RBIs, a grand slam, a solo home run. He is now tied with Vladdy for the most home runs with the Toronto Blue Jays. On Monday, the first of four games, the Jays beat the Yankees in a close one, 5-4, and then they just killed them yesterday for Canada Day. They have a losing record on Canada Day, but yesterday adding to the win totals. The score, if you missed it, Jays 12, Yankees 5. The Jays have won three in a row after yesterday and are now only a game back of the Yankees in the AL East. They're still in the wild card race. They're the first of the three teams, and they play the Yankees twice more here over the next couple of days, including today, so that it is a four-game series. So if they can get another win out of this series, they're closing the gap on the Yankees big time. Surprising a lot of people, this Toronto Blue Jays squad this year, and doing very, very well. So there you go. The Jays will play again. The Yankees, they've won three in a row, and they are back at it again today. Fingers crossed for another win. Ohtani, Shohei, has hit 30 home runs for the fifth straight year.
High drive, towering into the Tuesday twilight. Shohei Ohtani, welcome home. Number 30 for Shohei Ohtani.
So that 30th home run helped them get the win yesterday over the Chicago White Sox. 6-1 was the final for the Dodgers. He's now pitching on top of hitting. And I don't know if you saw the highlight of that hit. He was off balance. It was a weird swing. Even when he's not like completely in place or set or ready or whatever, it just makes the game look way easier. Los Angeles leading the NL West right now by 8 games over the Padres. So they are on a heater again this year. We'll move over to the CFL. Then this is the first time in league history all 9 teams in league have made their negotiation lists public.
Slot to the left. This Claypool. As Roethlisberger throws, Claypool makes the catch. His fourth touchdown today.
If you want to have a look at the list, we actually retweeted it on our Twitter, and I think it's up on our other social media accounts as well. Green Zone SK on X or whatever, Twitter, if you want to call it that. That's a Chase Claypool highlight from him. He's with the Bears, and he is one of the bigger names on the Rough Riders negotiating list. Now, I will be honest. I have no idea why this is the first time that the list has been made public. We might be able to get a little bit more insight into that when we chat with Dave Naylor or Daryl Davis. I have a plan to ask both of them about this list with our weekly hits. So, again, I don't know why all of a sudden it's out there. It's a curiosity thing for a lot of CFL fans. And again, you can go have a look at the list, see if you recognize any of the names. And it's, I think, widely known as sort of a wish list, a dream list. And so CFL teams compete for the rights to negotiate first with these players. And, yeah, interesting that they've never released the list publicly, all the teams at once. Anyway, up next on the Green Zone, again, we are going to dissect Jamie and I's Week 5 CFL picks. Knight, like I was saying, usually does very, very well. If I'm not mistaken, over the last couple of years, he's actually led and won the picks, the yearly picks in the CFL. He's struggling a bit this year. He had a rough outing last week. He only went 2-for-2. He is 10-for-6 on the season, tied for last with the others that he's competing with. And we'll get you his picks. And maybe we'll get you yours as well. You can text them into the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. It's the Green Zone, Jamie and Walker. I am flying solo today. By the way, Jace just sent me a quick test and says it's always fun. I think he was trying to make me feel better about my existence on the planet when Locker does a show by himself. A couple of things that we're chatting about today. One I sent to Jace. You get to steal a player from any team in the NHL. This is just after free agency yesterday. For the team that you cheer for, who are you stealing and why? Also, how did you celebrate your Canada Day? I had a couple of steaks yesterday. Did you go to the fireworks? I'm such a loser. We had plans to go, and I get up early. I've been a morning person my whole life, so wrapping my head around going out around 11 o'clock at night is just, like, I like fireworks. I don't want to miss these things, but by 9:30 last night, I was like, I'm pulling the pin. I'm calling it when we stayed home. My wife did want to, there was a conversation about doing the hot air balloon rides. I don't know if you saw this, but she was like, hey, honey, would you like to join? Knowing full well how I feel about heights and rides, I knew she was kidding. She said, do you want to join me on the hot air balloon? And I said, absolutely not. The dog and I will watch you come to a fiery crash. And she didn't find that funny. I did hear that it was canceled yesterday because of a wind situation. So everyone, even though it didn't happen, still stayed safe. I don't know what this says about me, but a friend of mine, this was a couple of years ago, he was bragging about going on a hot air balloon ride. And I don't know why he brought it up, especially to me, but we were in a text group with him. And for about, I'd say, 3 or 4 days on a fairly regular basis, I would suggest every 30 minutes, 45 minutes, we were sending him videos, links to videos of hot air balloon crashes. And just so you know, not that you need to go look this up on YouTube, but there are a surprising number of videos out there dedicated to those things coming down harder than they should be and not ending well for the people in those baskets. So that exchange a couple years ago pretty much destroyed even the slimmest hopes of me ever getting in one of those stupid baskets. I'll be honest with you. All right, nice. Week 5 CFL picks. If you have a suggestion or you have a pick for this week, let me know. Here's who's playing. We got the Thursday Nighter, Bombers, Stamps. That's an interesting one because, well, we'll get into it here with Nye's picks. Friday night football, Hamilton in Toronto taking on the Argos. Saturday night, we got BC in Montreal. A bit of a dud on Sunday night. Sorry to Red Black fans and Elk fans. But Ottawa and Edmonton, that is a schnoozer. Calgary over Winnipeg is what Nye has. He's got Calgary beating the Bombers. And the interesting thing is he's one of 5 people that make picks. 3 of the 5 have Calgary beating the Bombers in Winnipeg. And I don't know if this is an attempt by Jamie to try to get back into the running here, into the race in these picks. But maybe he'll explain himself next week. Hamilton over Toronto is who he's going with for the Friday night game. He's got Montreal over BC. That's a pretty easy pick, although it looks like Nathan Rourke might be back because he's been doing first-team reps. And then he's got Edmonton getting their first win of the season over Ottawa over the Red Blacks. So there's week five Nye's CFL picks, his predictions for this week here in the CFL. And again, we'll take yours. Also very curious about what you did for your Canada Day if you want to weigh in on that. And obviously, we've got Daryl Davis, a double take with Daryl Davis a little later on this afternoon. So we'll get his week 5 CFL picks from him as well. I also, again, we were just talking about the negotiation list being released. All 9 teams in the CFL released their lists today. I don't know exactly why this is the first time that they decided that they're going to release them, but it's a thing. Coming up next, we will be chatting with Alan Miller. Alan Miller, formerly the general manager of the Regina Pats, moving back to a gig with Hockey Canada. Looking forward to our chat with Alan. That's next on 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. There we go. That's a good tune. Thin Lizzy. Thank you, Scotty. Scotty, the producer. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. I am Lachlan. Lachlan Cross, a.k.a. Locker, flying solo this week. And joined by Alan Miller. You might recognize that name. The former GM of the Regina Pats, going back to Hockey Canada as the first general manager of the program of excellence. Alan, I know you're on the road, so hopefully the connection stays strong. Are you on your way to Calgary as we speak?
Yeah, I just finished up my duties in Regina with the import draft there today.
Yeah.
And I'm on the road to Calgary, and I've got some orientation things at Hockey Canada tomorrow, so on my way back to Calgary, and great to connect with you, Locker.
Nice. Well, we appreciate you calling the Green Zone today and letting us have a chat, sort of a farewell. I'm guessing this won't be the last time we chat, but a farewell to Regina at this point. Alan, what is your new role with Hockey Canada for those that might not be aware of what the program of excellence is?
Well, I'll oversee that program, which includes being general manager of the national junior team, general manager of the under-18 Hlinka team, and the under-18 world championship team. I'll also oversee the under-17 program. And while I'll have to earn my way, you know, there will be opportunities to potentially get involved in some of the men's programs. But my priority will be around the program of excellence. And obviously, with the results the last couple of years and heading into Minneapolis at Christmas time, the challenge to get the national junior team back on track.
Yeah, yeah, we will definitely we'll touch on that. Before, though, let's look a little bit back at what you've done here in Regina. And the future looks bright for the Pats. It's an interesting time to leave, just based on some of the developments with this team. Listen, I know you're taking on a much larger role in the hockey world, but it must have been a bit of a, I don't know if challenge is the right word, but you must have at least thought about it when the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, there were certainly pauses along the way and considering the move, and a lot of that had to do with, you know, winning the lottery and the number one pick and Schultz and then making the big trade to add Pugh as well, and, you know, the people in Regina and how well I was treated and the young core that we've built there with, you know, some of the trades and the draft capital that was built, and, you know, we really like the 09 age group as well. So yeah, certainly a difficult decision. I think the uniqueness of being the first GM of the national junior team and the program of excellence, my experience around Hockey Canada, I think my competitiveness around the results of late and some of the criticism of the program, the challenge to get it back on track. It was a difficult decision, but just at the end of the day, both personally and professionally, I thought it was the best thing for me at this stage of my career.
A lot of things coming into play, right, with your decision, obviously. So well-respected here in the community. We're really looking forward to Mattis Schultz staying at home. Can you give us a quick rundown of what you think he brings to the Regina Pats?
Well, he's mature beyond his age. I think he's one of those special players that is going to make an impact at 15 years old, even though it's only going to be 34 games as compared to a full schedule. But I think he'll make an impact, and the reason I think he's going to be, he's the transition. There'll always be some type of an adjustment for a young player, but you know, he's built like an 18-year-old. He's mature like an 18, 19-year-old. He plays the game like a veteran player. Like, you know, you look at his skill set, you look at his skating, his edge work is, outstanding. but he takes a lot of pride in playing the game the right way, having a 200-foot game, you know, hard on face-offs, wants to play against the other team's best players. You never like to compare young players to, you know, Hall of Fame-type guys. But when you think of Jonathan Toews and you think of that type of player, leadership, two-way center, complete game, Maddux has a lot of those intangibles. He's a special person and a special player.
Now, your replacement, you work quite closely with the Regina Pats, Dale Durkach, and we're just wondering, just for future interviews down the road with Dale, have you got any dirt on him?
Yeah, I've got a few things. Not much maybe we could talk about on the air here, Locker. I can tell you that he'll be a passionate guy, very passionate about the Pats. When you look at his experience as a player and a scout, as a coach, assistant GM, and now GM, I'm absolutely thrilled that Sean Semple and Gord Pritchard believed in the succession plan and promoted Dirk to the GM position, and nice. He'll do an outstanding job.
Awesome. A couple of bad years for Canada at the World Juniors. Getting Canada back on top, you've already mentioned it, at this annual tournament at Christmas time, has got to be at the top of your list of priorities.
It is, and I think it's at the top of priority of a lot of people's lists at Hockey Canada. You know, two tough tournaments. I think everybody understands that internationally, countries have bridged the gap with Canada. It is a cyclical nature in terms of the quality of players, and there's going to be some years that maybe the Americans are stronger in the 19-year-old age group than other countries are. But we've got some work to do to get us back on track. My priority right out of the gate here is putting a coaching staff together, and we hope to have an announcement here by the end of the week on our head coach. But certainly our process through the coaching staff, bringing Misha Donskoff on from the Dallas Stars as a VP of Hockey Ops, and he'll be an associate coach on the national junior team. Our preparations for the summer exhibition series in Minneapolis with Finland, Sweden, and the Americans is real important. And, you think about intense competitiveness, going into Minneapolis. The Americans are going for a three-peat. We're looking to get back on track. Can't wait to get there and send a strong message.
This is, this draft here was one of those years where it doesn't look like the top players are going to jump right into the NHL. That includes Matthew Shea. And you know what? Maybe a couple of them prove us wrong here. But the pundits, the hockey experts are all saying that they're going to need a little bit more time to mature in the lower leagues before they jump up. And Matthew Schaefer, he broke his collarbone in the World Juniors in December this year and missed out most of that tournament. And I watch that tournament every year, and he surprised me. He was a standout even in the short period of time that he played. How important is it to go after guys like Matthew and draft eligible players? And what is that negotiation like to get them to come? Does it start with their teams? Like how does that process work, Alan?
Well, I think, Locker, what you saw with the success that the CHL had in this draft was the culmination of winning back-to-back under-17 championships, winning back-to-back under-18 world championships, winning back-to-back Hlinka-Gretzky tournaments. So that kind of shows in the 06, 07, 08 age groups that they're strong in the country. So that's a great starting point. The process with the Schaefers, the Michael Misas, the Martones, the Desnoyers, as they'll go through a process with their NHL team, the NHL team will make some decisions on what's in the best interest of those players to play in the NHL or return to junior. If players are playing in the NHL, then it's a matter of communication. It's a matter of working through if those players are going to be available. And, I'll give you a quick story. Our team in Halifax that won, Brant Clark, Shane Wright, and Dylan Gunther were all in the NHL.
Yeah.
All three of those teams worked with us. They wanted their players to get that experience. They put them in the American League for a conditioning stint leading up to the tournament, and all three of them came in, had a great experience, and helped us win a world championship. That's kind of how the dialogue plays out, will play out between me and the NHL GM for those players that start the year in the NHL and if they're going to be made available for the national junior team.
One of the things that I can't imagine gets old, Alan, with your involvement with Hockey Canada, is letting these kids know that they're going to get a chance to put that crest on and play in that tournament every year. That must be something that you look forward to, being part of that program.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, and it's an emotional time on two fronts. Locker one is, you know, there's young men that you're telling them that they're on the team, and there's young men that you're telling them that they just didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
And a lot of these young guys that are competing for a spot on the national junior team have never been cut from a team before. And when you couple that with the fact that, you know, they grow up following the tournament, they grow up through, you know, their draft and playing in the CHL and wanting to play on the national junior team. So it can be a difficult process, but at the same time, you know, for any of us, whether it's an equipment manager that's going to join our staff, our coaches, an athletic therapist, the team doc, myself, it's always an honor and a privilege. And you know, we'll go through a process here to put our best foot forward and make sure that we're ready for the 26 World Junior Championships. It's as we've talked about here, it's a real important tournament for Hockey Canada.
It's funny how the entire country gauges the success of hockey as a whole with our results that tournament. So there's a ton of pressure on you and the group that you're going to put together to represent this country, Alan. So looking forward to watching that tournament in the Christmas break. U.S. is going to be even tougher to beat on their home country soil this time around, I'm guessing.
Well, I guess all I can say to that is, well, we'll have to look forward to doing it.
Nice. Now, the popularity of the game of hockey is growing, and not just in Canada. What role does Hockey Canada play in the growth of our game as a whole?
Oh, I think they play a big part, and you know, a lot of people may not understand that. You know, Hockey Canada is the governing body, and there's a strong connection between, you know, Hockey Canada and the hockey ops staff, and in particular, a development staff, and working with the Western branches on, you know, player programs, coaching programs, player development, coach program, even extends to officiating program, women's and girls hockey,
yeah.
All those things across the country. So it's a leadership role, and the strong connection with the Western branches is vital in terms of the grassroots and the growth of hockey across the country.
Interesting connection I have with, I think he would be, you're probably on par with him at Hockey Canada, but somebody that's been with the organization for years, I went to high school with, Scott Salmon.
Sammy's my boss. He's the senior VP of hockey ops. He's the gentleman that hired me 2.5 years ago, and has brought me back. Sammy is one of the best leaders in the game, and that includes the NHL locker. He's one of the best in terms of creating an environment and a culture, and making people feel important. And making sure that the staff and the players have everything they need, all the resources they need to be successful. You know, a big part of me returning to Hockey Canada is Scott Salmon, and I appreciate his trust in wanting me to be the guy to take over this new position and this you know, really important role moving forward in the Hockey Canada structure.
Well, we wish you all the best of luck. I remember Scott Salmon because I may have been on the ice with him a couple of times playing hockey, and he has to be lamenting his lack of career at this point, because back in the day he was a bully hockey player before there was actually bully hockey players. And surprisingly, well, there was always bully hockey players, but he was a special kind of bully hockey player, and he skated a little bit like the Kachucks.
I'm sure if you played against Sammy, he tried to run you over, Locker. And I,
yes,
I know, and I know that Sammy, created a little bit of trouble in more than one warm up.
100%.
The referees came running out of the dressing room because something happened during warm up, and Scott Salmon was in the middle of it. He knew what he was as a player. And he played to his strengths, Locker, and that was to play hard.
That's Scott Salmon I remember from Crescent. Listen, Alan, I really appreciate your time, and good luck, and congrats from the Green Zone on your new position.
Appreciate that. Always a pleasure, and look forward to connecting with you and Jamie down the road.
All right, my friend. Drive safe, okay?
Thank you. Take care.
That's Alan Miller. He is on his way to take over as the general manager of the Program of Excellence with Hockey Canada, so he is returning to a role with that organization and leaving the Regina Pats in a better place after him being here for the last couple of years. So we thank him for his time here on the Green Zone. If you want to maybe give us your Canada Day celebrations, what did you do? Maybe you want to send me your picks for week 5 in the CFL. The Green Zone fan line is always open, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Green Zone, Jamie Locker. Locker's got the bye week off, so I am flying solo. We've got the phone lines open at all times. You can call, you can text 877-332-8255. We did get a text from Kirk. Here's his week 5 picks. He's going with the Stamps, with the Argos, the Lions, and the Red Blacks. Now, I am not positive if Kirk is a gambler or not, but if he is, he stands to make some money because it looks like he's taken all the upsets. We have Nye's picks. He went Calgary over Winnipeg, Hamilton over Toronto, Montreal over BC, Edmonton over Ottawa. And again, at some point today, if you want to send me your Week 5 picks, let's do it. David DeWork covers the Florida Panthers. An interesting conversation right now, especially with the win and what they did leading up to free agency. He covers the team for the Hockey News. He is standing by on the Green Zone. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.